Evening, everybody. It's Ryan Thomas. Thank you so much for joining me on this holiday call. We've got so many people that have all called in and are listening to this recording, and I'm really happy to have you, and I really want to welcome you. And this call for me is really an opportunity to kind of really speak from my heart to you. And, you know, not about strategy. It's not about recounting and talking about how to get connected with your child and all of those things. It's really just an opportunity for me to talk to you from the heart as a mom or a dad or a grandparent and try to help you through this difficult time that you have, especially around the holidays. And, you know, as I said in the invitation for this call, is that this call is to provide some comfort and joy to families who are dealing with parental alienation. This really is my attempt to give you sort of a virtual hug to support you as you deal with parental alienation, especially during the holidays and at the end of the year and looking forward to the start of a new year. And as we get started here, I want you to know that as I talk to you tonight, I'm also imagining that I'm talking to my dad. I'm imagining that I'm talking to my dad during that decade-long blackout period that we had. And I think about what he must have been going through. And I think about what you're going through as parents and family members, this constant emotional roller coaster that just seems to get even more heightened when we look at the holidays and holidays. And so it's really important to know that the words that I'm sharing with you tonight are exactly what I would want my dad to hear. This is exactly what I would want my dad to hear during that blackout period. Because years ago, I was your child. You know, think about that. I was your child. It was the holiday season, and I ignored my dad. In fact, there were holidays after holidays that I either ignored him or I made him feel insignificant in my life. I refused his gifts. I returned his gifts. And some holidays, if I wasn't ignoring him, I'd lash out with really hurtful words. And that was my dad's experience with me. Month after month, year after year, or holiday after holiday, that's all he had to go on. That was his relationship experience. His relationship with me was constant rejection. And what I want you to realize, and the first thing that I want you to notice in all of those things that I just said and that I just shared with you, is those are the things that I did. I did those things to him. I rejected him. I ignored him. I lashed out at him. They were my actions. No doubt about it. It happened. But now I want to actually tell you how I felt during that time. Because there is a huge difference between what I did and how I was actually feeling. And I think it's important to note, because as you're thinking about your situation, all you're getting is the action, the rejection, those types of things. But what I, as the alienated child, was feeling was deep down, squirreled away, hidden away, was an absolute desire to love him, to love my dad, and to be loved by my dad. When those Christmas presents or those cards came in, There was a huge part of me that was excited. Dad thought about me. Dad sent something to me. But you learn very quickly as an alienated child, because of the alienator, what's going to fly and what's not. I very quickly learned that that wasn't acceptable. So we don't get excited about that. And so I started to follow suit for my own protection. And so as these presents were rejected or sent back or belittled, or his attempts to connect with me during the holiday season or other times were rejected, I felt a huge sense of sadness, because I wanted to be accepted by my dad. I actually wanted to be loved by my dad. I wanted to show my love to him. But after so long, after being sort of beaten down and brainwashed and manipulated into all of these stories, I started realizing that, okay, maybe this is just how it is. And I took the road less traveled, and I started to just go along with it. And I think for a long, long time, I convinced myself that this is really how I felt about him, because it was too painful to think about or too painful to act on and to try to come out from the alienator and to try to go against the wishes of the regime. But I can tell you, and I always thought about my dad, I did love him. I did, deep down inside, hidden away, want his gifts, wanted to know that he loved me, wanted to tell him what I was doing, wanted to be with him. And again, these are various levels of awareness. These are various levels of emotion. But each and every holiday, despite what I was doing, as those presents were rejected and I watched them get maybe thrown, you know, thrown off, discarded, there was a sadness there. And there was a sadness about the relationship that I had with my dad. And I believe that your children, despite what they're saying and doing or not saying and doing to you, that deep down inside of them, there is a longing for you, there is a love for you, there is a sadness about what they don't have with you. And there, yes, there is a longing for that. And I think that's really important to know because, like I said, the only thing you can judge is what you're being shown. And my dad thought that I could have cared less, and he probably felt like that. In fact, I know he felt like that. But it actually wasn't true. There was so much more. It's like looking at an iceberg. And yeah, you see the top, but what you don't see is all the bottom, everything that's underwater, all that hidden stuff. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want you to really understand and take to heart, is that your child is in there somewhere. And around this time, they are thinking about you. They want love from you, and they do love you. And so as we sort of talk about this, you know, as I said, my goal for this call is to provide that sort of comfort and joy. And so I looked up, after I sort of did this, I was like, okay, what are the definitions of comfort and joy? And the first thing that comfort says is the easing or alleviating of a person's feeling of grief or distress. And in one small way, that's what I'm trying to do already, is to show you, yes, you're experiencing pain. That's what you know. Here's what you don't know. This is what you're seeing. This is what you're not seeing. This is the possibility and the potential and the positive emotions. Just to let you know, I absolutely relate and can feel for what you're going through. But I also can tell you that at the same time that things were going on, that I was feeling completely different than how I was acting. So I hope that does start to provide you with some comfort. But the other part of this is joy. And joy is described as a feeling of great pleasure or happiness. And I want you to be happy in life. I want you to feel joy. Then my true goal for this call is to help you realize that you can create your own comfort and joy. If you realize that you can actually take some control over your life despite everything that's happened, don't ever let someone else control your happiness. Don't let anyone judge your value or your worth and control how you see yourself and control that happiness and joy in your own life, especially your child who is lost in a sea of lies, who is lashing out or ignoring you because they've been brainwashed, yet somewhere secretly inside they're longing to love you. And think about that. You're basing your entire, probably happiness and most of your existence on this tragic, awful thing that's happened to you. But tonight, parents and grandparents and my own alienated dad, if he was listening, I would tell you and I would ask you to please hear this. Number one, you have the right to be happy. I'm going to get into this stuff. Number two, you are absolutely worthy of love. And the other thing I'm going to tell you is that showing love is for you just as much as it is for your child. And so those are some of the things that I want to walk you through in this call on figuring out how to show you how to get through this time. And I want to start with the last thing, kind of work our way backwards. And I want to tell you about this thought that I have that says showing love is for you as much as it is for your child. You know, so many parents will ask me, you know, how can I show love to my child? And it's a great question. Of course, there's lots of strategies, and you can, you know, if you have communication, you can send emails and texts and cards and letters and all of these different things that you could do. And then, there's many cases that there isn't access to communication. You say, oh my gosh, what can I do? How can I possibly keep showing my child that I love them? And so every time I hear this question that people will say, how can I show love to my child? I think the real question is, how can I show love to my child that will prompt them to realize that I love them and respond? And I totally get that. Nobody wants, from the beginning of time, no one's wanted unrequited love, right? Especially from your children. But here's the thing. It's the expectation of the result, of the return, that creates disappointment. And so what I want to share with you is that giving love, expressing love, whether that's sending a card or sending a message, or if you don't have access to even do those things, sending love with your mind, with your heart, sending love and giving love is a gift of its own. And love is like forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't about the other person. Forgiveness is about yourself. Love and that forgiveness is to open your own heart and your own soul so that you can live, so that you can find some contentment in life, to free yourself as much as you possibly can from being just weighed down by misery and anger and resentment, because that clouds your ability to be happy. And so think about that. Think about, in that idea of sending love and giving love, you can send love. You have the ability to send love anytime you want to. If you have an address, if you have an email, if you have a text message, you can send things that will express love and caring to your child. If you don't, you can be constantly thinking good thoughts, sending good, positive thoughts. I would imagine that on some level you can recognize that it feels good to do that. But it's the disappointment. And believe me, I get it. And we've talked, and there's lots of resources that we've talked about ways to do that effectively. But right now, again, what I want to do is I want to talk to you, the person, and say, here's how you can work to get through this. You can love just for the sake of giving that love, to make yourself and to surround yourself so that you feel like you're whole. And if you think about it, when you go and you put change in a donation box, or you help a needy family or a homeless family, give something to someone. I don't know, maybe you're at the store and somebody says, would you like to donate a couple of bucks and we'll put your little name on the wall and we'll stick it up on the wall. And you do that. 9 times out of 10, you're like, oh, I don't need that. That's fine. No, just take the money and I hope it helps. What's the good part about doing that? The good part about doing that is that you've recognized you have something to give, no matter how big or small. You're giving that. That act of helping, of giving, is enough for you. You don't expect that homeless person or maybe that victim of a fire that lost their home, you don't expect them to come to the door and thank you. So the joy and the love that you're given, that is the gift. Now, it's the gift to them, but you don't have that expectation that you're going to hear back from them, that you're going to get good feedback from them. And again, this is all totally understandable that you want and deserve a response from your child. You deserve that respect. But as you're in this process and you don't always get the response that you want or you get no response, allow yourself to recognize that you actually have the power to give love and to send love without expectations. Try to find, even if it's just for a while, for a little bit of coping, a little bit of, you know, dare I say, sanity and happiness, allow yourself for that to be enough. Allow yourself to feel that giving love and that generosity and those good things for yourself and let it go and send it. Because you never know what's happening on the other side. You don't know what that child is thinking. Maybe that child won't respond, but maybe getting that or feeling that, maybe that could be enough. Maybe it's enough to keep them going. Maybe it's enough to just keep that love alive and sparked. And so again, that whole idea of the expectation or the result of that, that you're basing so much on, whether you heard from them or not heard from them, doesn't have to be the same as giving love. Because as I mentioned, my dad always did that, but I didn't respond in kind, but I felt it. Here's a really interesting mini breakthrough / I think a great success story. One of the parents that I work with in one of my programs messaged me and said, Ryan, this is really amazing. I'm paraphrasing this, but I have been sending my child text messages using some of the questions that you asked, and I've been so discouraged because I was hopeful and I thought they sounded great, and it was, you know, in essence, something I had never really thought of before. And I started sending these text messages and asking these questions, and nothing happened, and I was so disheartened. And then this parent got a message from her child's stepmother. And the stepmother says, I want you to know that the child is afraid to respond because of the father, who is the alienator. But I have to let you know that these messages that you've been sending, in essence, mean the world to him. And this one particular question that you asked him really, really stuck with him, really made him take notice. And he'd like to talk to you. And now the stepmother, thankfully, is trying to arrange them to have communication. But think about that. Here this person is continuing to do everything that she can, just like you are, with nothing to show for it. Something that seems like she has nothing to show for it. And then finds out far later that these have been a great lifeline to the child. The child has really appreciated them, and that it actually kind of unlocked something. Now, it's not a magic wand. It's not going to change everything. But, boy, that's a step in the right direction. So again, if you're thinking about how to do this, how to create for yourself happiness, I hope that this gives you some insights into what it is that you can do, and to show you that it's not always about the reaction. It's about what can you do to, of course, put yourself in the best possible position, but to actually feel good and believe that somewhere, everything that you're doing, whether it's in messages or cards or gifts, whether they're returned, whether you hear anything, whether you get a snotty remark back like I did with my dad, or whether you have no contact and you're just sending thoughts of love and kindness, believe that somewhere it is reaching your child. And they may be too scared, too afraid, too brainwashed to truly appreciate it and to respond back. They're prisoners in many ways. Prisoners within themselves. Prisoners of their mind. Prisoners of the household that they live in. And even if they're out and moved out and they're adult, they're still carrying around that mentality. So, again, as we're talking about these concepts, that's that first concept. I want you to know that showing love is for you as much as it is for them. So really disconnect yourself for a time as best you can to the reaction. Now, the next part that I mentioned was I said to you that I want you to know that you are absolutely worthy of love. And I had a parent that I was working with, and he said to me, Ryan, you got to tell people, do not base the value of how you see yourself on your child and how your child sees you. Now, granted, this is a parent who is in the same situation. They're not that lofty, but it was this realization, oh, my gosh, I'm on this roller coaster all the time. One minute, oh, she texted me. I'm great. Other minute, I haven't heard back. Oh, no, it's all gone to heck. Guess I'm not so great after all. And so that's what he said to me. Even as he's going through it, even as he's riding the roller coaster, he's like, man, we have to let people know that we cannot judge our worth just on what an alienated child who has been brainwashed thinks about us. It is, of course, something to deal with, but it doesn't have to define us. I want to ask you a question. Imagine that I have a $100 bill, right? We can all imagine what a $100 bill looks like. Now I want you to imagine that you're in a fifth-story building, and I want you to throw that $100 bill out the window, and it falls down, and it hits a couple branches on the way, and it lands on the ground, and it lands in a mud puddle, and people stomp on it, they walk around it, or they walk on it, car drives past. This thing is dirty, torn, tattered. It's been banged up. It's been just really put through the ringer. When you take that $100 bill and you dry it off, what is it? It's still a $100 bill. It has the same value no matter what it went through. The value of it has not changed despite what's been done to it. Or how it looks. And you have that same value. You have that same value that when you were a child and you had hopes and dreams and aspirations of what you wanted for your life, and when you were a young adult, and whether it was work or school or relationships, whatever it is, whenever that moment that you had the world in front of you, and you felt like, this is who I am. This is what I can bring to the world. This is who I want to be. This is how I would want to bring up a child, or this is how I would want to give back to the community, or this is who I just want to be as a friend or as a parent or as a brother or sister. You got to remember that you still are that person. You're an evolved person. Version of that person. And just because you have gotten completely derailed and sucked in to this awful world of alienation simply because you chose a partner that at one point you cared for and loved, and then it went south, and this person turned into who they are, and you're embroiled in this, you have to remember who you are as a person. And I want you to know that you have value. You are worth something. And it doesn't matter, and this is hard to get because we're so reactionary. You have to remember that despite whether you have a good text or a bad text on your phone, whether your inbox is filled with something nasty or whether you have no new messages from your child, that is something that's happening to you. But it doesn't have to mean that's who you are. Not if you don't let it. And I will also share, obviously, I'm not a parent, and I'm certainly not an alienated parent. So I can only feel as much as I possibly can about alienation, but also coming at it from the other side. And I can tell you that everything that you're feeling because of the alienation is also a gyration or is a reaction from what your child is going through. So when I think about you being reactionary, when I think about talking to you or like my dad saying, God, don't look at yourself like this. Allow yourself to be loved and to be worthy of love and to see yourself and not let this kill your self-esteem just because something isn't happening the way that you want it to. I'm the same way because I was under that alienator's thumb too. And even as a young adult, I'm not even that young anymore. I mean, I'm getting up there, right? But even as a younger adult, I'm still dealing with this stuff. It's still a constant practice area that if something happens, oh, is she upset with me? Is all hell going to break loose? So it's something that I fight too. So once again, I'm trying to share this with you, not from on high, like, oh, this is exactly what I do, but this is the kind of stuff like I'm speaking to you and myself as much as you. This is the struggle that we have to not lose ourselves in. And it happens to you and it happens to your child and it happens to the adult child of parental alienation. And so what I want you to do is to make sure that with this idea of showing you and reinforcing for you that you are worthy of love is to, number one, you have to surround yourself with people who love you and who you love. You have to put yourself, not only from a self-belief, but also make sure that you can surround yourself with as much people that can provide some human nurturing and love and compassion and generosity with you. Because I can imagine that not having that from your child, it takes that many more people. It's like the child is what hits the spot. It's the same thing for a kid, having the touch of a mom or a dad. So I really want you to focus on really making sure that as you build your own self-belief, and the first step is that, just going, you know what, I am worthy of love, great. Go surround yourself with people who love you and who you can love without strings, without drama, without innuendo, any of those things. And the other thing that I want you to do is to really try to trust that you are doing everything that you can to show love. That's all you can ask. I know I'm doing the best job that I can given the circumstances and knowing what I know and what I don't know. I am trying the best that I can, and I am putting out love. I am putting out the intention that I want to have a relationship. But you also have to just kind of do that and trust that and, again, allow yourself to just feel that you're okay, you're good enough. You actually are good enough. You have to believe that you are a wonderful person of value despite everything that's happening to you. and everything that has happened to you. And this is where, again, you know, looking at your life, focus on other things that you love, other things that you want to do in your life. And if you could say, you know what, as I was mentioning, tapping back into you, the person, what do you want? What kind of life do you want? What kind of things do you want to give to this world while you're dealing with this situation? Allow yourself to feel that. Put yourself out there. And believe that you're worthy of love. Because I can tell you right now, just like that $100 bill, you can do anything to it, it still has value. Whatever happens to you, you still have value. And somebody needs to tell you that, and that's me. Now, the next part that we talked about is we talked about this idea that you have the right to be happy. That even goes kind of dovetails into what I just said, right? I was saying, you know, focus on other things that you love to do. And I think that there are a lot of parents like you and family members like you that almost feel like guilty if you want to do things that make you happy or want to enjoy other family members or trips or traveling or hobbies. Because you're like, well, I don't want anybody to feel like, and I don't want to feel like I'm giving up on the situation. And so the first thing is, I think that at some point you have to realize you don't have to choose between loving and fighting for your child and being happy and focusing on things that you love. Because somewhere along the line, it's sort of like, well, I think somehow you've got this belief that it's like, well, I need to be all in on this. So I'm thinking about this 24/7 about how to rebuild this relationship because it's my child, right? And I totally get it. But you don't have to give up on yourself and your own life and hobbies and happiness just to go all in on on trying to reunite with your child. It's a part of it. It's an important part. It's the most important part to you. And that's okay. But it doesn't mean that it has to come at the expense of other things that you like. You know, one of the parents that I work with, she recently was able to reunite with her child. And they are just kind of slowly getting back into conversations. He's in his late teens. He's got a girlfriend. The girlfriend was excited to meet the mom and probably heard lots of things about the mom. But it's like, oh, I want to meet your mom. And so this has been, again, a roller coaster of back and forth, walking on eggshells, because now she's got a relationship, but she's like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to say the wrong thing and go back into a blackout period. And one of her first thoughts was, well, geez, Ryan, I love traveling, and since I've been alienated, you know, I kind of took up traveling, and I've got people and friends that I can see now that we're, you know, reconnected again. I don't know if I should travel. Like, I don't want to make them feel like, you know, I'm just, you know, flying the coop now that we've reunited. And so, again, I totally understand that. But you see, I want to kind of hold up a mirror and be like, wow, this is what has happened. This is what you had to buy into, that it has to be either or. And this will happen, this will happen if you have no communication. You're like, well, I don't really want to, I don't know if I deserve or if I should be off gallivanting around having fun when I've got this awful situation. Well, then maybe you do hopefully have some connection and you're like, well, I don't dare not be by the phone every 5 seconds unless he calls or she calls or texts. I want to be there because if I don't respond like within 20 minutes, they're going to think that I'm a jerk again. And so this is why I think it's so important You know, this is about, well, what do you think, you know, the appropriate time to respond is? It's not about that on this call. What it is about is recognizing the fact that you have a right to be happy. You have a right to enjoy life in addition to your child, whether they're alienated or not. I have to give you, and I want to let you know, like, you have permission to live and to be happy and do things that you want. And sometimes people will say, you know, gosh, everything feels so draining and so exhausting from all this. Like, I don't even know where I would start to generate that feeling of happiness sometimes, because it's so much, you know, anxiety and stress. I'm beside myself. I don't know what to do. And one of the things that I really love to do, and I think it could be very helpful for you, is the sort of art of practicing gratitude. Being really thankful for everything you have. And I don't even just mean, you know, oh, I have a house. But I'm talking about right down to the detail of things. I'm talking about being thankful for things that people take for granted. You know, last night something came up. I had to run somewhere. And I was out of breath. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I was like, I'm so thankful that I have the ability to run. There are people that don't have that ability. So I am out of breath, but I had to run. So I'm thankful for it. And so if you can look for little things, even in the time of despair, it creates sort of this good, positive army of thoughts that I believe can work in tandem and in part to create things to be happy about, to be thankful for. And if you can do this, and you can recognize the fact that you can actually allow yourself to find pockets of happiness, even in the holidays, even in a new year, and actually empower yourself to say, you know what, I do have a right to laugh and to be happy and to have a life. Those are the things that I want you to take away. Those are the things that I believe that when it's all said and done, when your child hopefully and eventually finds their way back to you, you will be that much more of a whole and happy person. I've often said that my dad, despite everything he went through, his ability to get through it so that when I met him again and we slowly began to rebuild our relationship, I was like, wow, what an amazing person. Like, this guy went through a war, and his outlook, his compassion, his love, his ability to forgive, his ability to and forgive me for everything that I did to him, and to be loving and compassionate. And then for him to also have things that he loves and enjoys, and things that I can now either enjoy with him or just kind of marvel at and be like, oh my gosh, that's something that you like to do. That's really cool. He's a better person for it. Our relationship is better for it. And so that's why, again, even for, if not for yourself, but also for the relationship, you want to make sure that you're the best possible version of yourself for you in the meantime, as well as for your child when that time eventually and hopefully comes. So that's really what I kind of wanted to bring to you, is to show you that it is okay to create your own comfort and joy and happiness, to believe and to show that love and giving love is for you, not just the other person. Think of love as sort of that anonymous donation that you give. You give it freely, it makes you feel good, and you walk away and you carry on with your life. And you can do that in addition to the other things that you're doing to try to build a relationship and reach your child again. But you got to be able to make it through this life. And so that's why I tell you, you know, you are worthy of love. I am telling you that. Don't let this hurt your self-esteem. Know that other people are going through this. Other people have gone through this. Children like me have turned and realized what's happened to them. There are breakthroughs, many breakthroughs, breakthroughs that even some of the experts might look at and say, oh, well, that's not a true, you know, rebuff of parental alienation. Well, you know what? If you've got a kid that won't talk to you and now you can have communication with them, that's a breakthrough. If you've got a kid that's got communication and it's all nasty and then it's not nasty, that's a breakthrough. That's a step in the right direction. If you've got a kid that will only meet you in a neutral place and then they'll eventually come over to your house, that's a breakthrough. That's an advancement. If you've got a kid that even just maybe without you knowing starts to remember something good, starts to allow themselves, like I did, to see you as a good person, is not an evil monster like you've been made out to, that's a step in the right direction. That's a breakthrough. And it's not always that we're going to see it or that you're not going to see it right away. This stuff didn't happen overnight. It's not going to be fixed overnight. But you've got to believe that it's possible and that in these small incremental steps that it's working. And you can commit to wanting to have that happen. But if it consumes you, and again, like we talked about, you're constantly waiting for that immediate feedback, you're setting yourself up for constant misery. You're allowing yourself or you're allowing someone else to control your entire outlook on life. And I will tell you, as being that jerk of an alienated child, it was who now sees what happened to me. My dad went through a lot, but I am really glad that I didn't change him. I am really glad that I didn't ruin his life. I am really glad that he found a way to love me and to be really upset and longing for me and believe in me. But I'm really glad that I didn't ruin his life. We lost time. We lost precious time together. He didn't allow that to happen. He wasn't so all-consumed by it, but he never gave up. He always tried. He didn't have a lot of tools. He didn't really know what he was doing, but he never gave up. And so that's where, again, I tell you, allow yourself to find and to sort of, in some ways, even compartmentalize what you're going through with who you are as the person. And as you go forward, as you look at the holiday season into the new year, reach out to your children. Let them know how you feel. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that, you know, especially if they're older, acknowledge that they've got this adult life, that they're doing their own things. You don't have to make it about you and your guilt. You and your emotion and your sadness or disappointment, which could induce that some of that guilt. Just love and just let them know and express that love. Talk about them. Talk about their future. If you're gonna send a card, you're gonna send a gift or a note. Right? Think of a fun memory that they can relate to. Something around this time of year. Don't make it long. Don't make it dramatic. Just put it in there. Give them a gentle reminder. Put a nice thought about you and you guys together in their mind, even if it's for a brief moment. Even if it's something that just says, hey, remember when. And I can remember, I celebrate Christmas, and I can remember that right after my dad, shortly after my mom and dad divorced, my dad used to come over on Christmas morning. It was a very fleeting event, but I think it was 2 years, and then he was barred from coming over. And anyways, but one of my most favorite memories was sitting on my mom's bed, looking out the window. We had the Christmas lantern candelabras in the window. It was pitch dark in the morning, sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was singing, you know, "He'll be coming around the mountain when he comes," waiting for my dad to come, getting really excited that he was coming over. And so my dad, of course, isn't going to know that I had that experience. But if my dad had ever thought, or if anybody had ever said to him, "Hey, when you write a note to your child, say, boy, wasn't that fun when I used to come over on Christmas morning, trudging out in the snow, and we'd have Christmas morning together." I don't know what happened. I don't care what happened. I'm going to have that memory. Nobody can take that memory away from me. The only thing they can do is shield me from thinking about it and prevent me from having something that sparks that memory. But if my dad can do it, if you can do it, and it's small and it's powerful and it reminds them of a better time, you know what? That's one good thought about you that can swim in their head. They may not mention it. They may even have to outwardly discount it in front of the alienator. But they can't take it away. You can't unring a bell. So think about, what is it that you could communicate? What is it that you could send your child in love and thought and message where possible that could ring like a bell that they can't get out of their head? A memory that won't quit. A memory that almost hurts because it's so beautiful. That's what that memory is for me. And there's countless other memories. So be consistent. Don't give up. Allow yourself to have things coexist. And know that you are not alone. Know that there are other people who are in a similar situation. And what I want to do before we wrap up this call is to just take a moment. We've got, let's see here, I look on my screen. We've got about 240 people on this call right now. That's a lot of energy. So what I want to do as we close this, and if you're listening to the recording, that's fine. Do the same thing. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine all of these people who are in one room, 240-plus people, and we all have a shared experience. We all have love and pain and sadness in our heart. And I want you to imagine that everybody is talking and there's a little bit of a chatter in the crowd, and then it stops. And everybody is just standing together. And we're all kind of going into putting our arm around each other. And it's one big group. Everybody's arm in arm, hands on shoulders. And you don't even have to say anything. Because we all understand. We all get it. We understand the emotion. We understand the hopes, the dreams, the love. So close your eyes and just for a moment imagine all of us together with this shared experience, just comforting each other, saying we understand. Say we get it. Telling each other it's going to be okay. Telling each other, be happy. Sit with that moment of all of us together. Because you aren't alone. This is a holiday season and a new year that you are not alone. And it's those things that we share that we can build off of. It's that hope and that belief and that caring and compassion that we have for each other that is stronger than anything negative, especially when we're all together. So feel that collective energy. And I'm going to leave you with that thought. So from my heart, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being in my life, for allowing me to come into your life in the most personal way. And I want to let you know that I am here for you. I care about you. I love you even though I don't know you for all the reasons that we just talked about. So I wish you a very happy and healthy holiday and new year. And I certainly wish for wonderful things ahead. I thank you so much and have a great evening.